Welcome to Brown Teacher Reads. I'm your host, Mina Mullick, a South Asian American high school English teacher. Think of this as the brown literature circle you always wanted to be in. In each episode, I'll discuss a text I've read, and I use the terms text and reading very broadly here, referring to novels, movies, songs, and many other forms of work. Lenses I approach text through are social justice, diversity, authentic representation, intersectionality, cultural appropriation, South Asian diaspora, Orientalism, colonialism, decolonization, Islam, religious tolerance, Islamophobia, cultural studies, writing workshop, and secondary English education. So, who am I exactly? I was born and raised in Southern California. My parents immigrated here from Pakistan, so I'm Pakistani American. I was born and raised in a Muslim family, and I consider myself a practicing Orthodox Muslim. For undergrad, I studied comparative literature and creative writing at UC Irvine. I graduated in 2014. For graduate school, I got a master's in education in curriculum and instruction for secondary English at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I graduated in 2018. That was also a licensing program, so I also got my teaching license through that program as well. Right now, I'm not teaching in a classroom, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. Also, I'm a huge English nerd. I'm pretty sure that goes without saying, though. Brown Teacher Reads is a way for me to reclaim my high school English experience by creating a platform where I can discuss diverse texts that are relevant and meaningful to me. In short, I'm creating a brown literature circle here. I'm always dying to talk to someone about whatever I'm reading or watching, and this is a tendency of English nerds like me that I just can't escape. But now that I'm actually an English teacher, I have a new set of perspectives that I always approach something I'm reading or watching that I just can't help. In this podcast, I'm going to embrace the English teacher inside of me and put a high school English spin on discussing texts. One thing you can look out for is assignments that I'll create and share, and I really want these to be used in high school English classrooms. That would be the coolest thing ever. But I'm also hoping that listeners who are nerdy enough to do them will actually do them and send them in to me, and I'll get to take a look at them. I hope that Brown Teacher Reads is a meaningful endeavor to me and many other brown readers out there who just want spaces to talk about the things really, really relevant to them in texts that they've been listening and reading and watching. And I want brown voices to be centered and the most important rather than being marginalized or undervalued as they very often are in bigger conversations. And the last thing I wanted to talk about in terms of Brown Teacher Reads and how this project came about in my mind is just breaking down some of the experiences from high school, college, and graduate school, which have informed my thoughts. In high school, I was a huge English nerd. English was my favorite class ever, but our curriculum was very white male-centered, very rooted in the Christian tradition. And I started feeling really frustrated because I realized that classmates of mine who weren't working as hard as me to understand what we were reading could actually just grasp stuff way better just because their personal backgrounds matched the backgrounds of the texts. And my turn never came to have overlap between what I was reading and my own personal life. And at the time, diversity, generally speaking, wasn't really something that was talked about. Multiculturalism wasn't something that was emphasized, just broadly speaking, from when I was in high school, from like 2005 to 2009. And this obviously bled over into what we read in classes because, of course, diverse texts from diverse authors were also not valued. And so while this frustration is brewing for me, I ended up seeing the movie, The Namesake. I didn't know this movie was based off of the book, The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri, which is one of my all-time favorite books. But basically, the reason why it came on my radar is because I went to go see Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and I ended up having a crush on Kal Penn. I'm not going to defend the crush that I developed for him, but I will just explain it. He was the only Desi American actor, you know, outside of Bollywood at the time, really. And I just ended up having a crush on him. What was happening in my personal life is that I was starting to come to terms with being Muslim and being Pakistani American. I was starting to not hate those parts of myself. I was starting to not hide those parts of my identity. And I was actually starting to embrace it to a good extent. And I really feel like that transferred in some way into the people I was open to having crushes on at that very boy crazy stage in my life. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a tangent, and I just want to acknowledge how sad I am for myself that up to that point in high school, I never really liked Desi or Muslim guys. And I really think it's because of how traumatizing 9/11 was for me personally, and also, you know, nationally and internationally, and all that trauma got internalized as self-hatred, which isn't fair and isn't right to an innocent 10-year-old who had nothing to do with anything. Anyways, so jumping back to the namesake, I see this movie, I read the book afterwards, and my world is just shattered in a beautiful, beautiful way. I never knew that stories like this existed, stories that I could see reflections of my own self in, and a coming-of-age story was so great for this to happen in because I love coming-of-age stories. But from there, I'm not really exploring that much literature because I'm wrapping up high school, you know how busy that is, and about to start college, you know how busy that is. And so I stumble my way through my first year in college as a plant bio major. I basically flunk out of the major because I failed literally an F. It is so painful for me to say this as a teacher, but yes, I got an F in a class. It was the last chem class in the chem series. And honestly, I wasn't really feeling my major at the time either. So I was praying about it, specifically that this form of prayer that can help Muslims make decisions. It's called istikhara, means seeking goodness, literally. And I was like, I'm taking this as a set of divine signs that I need to get out of the hard sciences. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of other Desi Americans and probably other Asian Americans, more broadly speaking, are really familiar with the pressures to go into something that's in the hard sciences, to pursue a job that has a very high paying salary and is very quote unquote respectable. And as much as I want to criticize that, I also understand where that comes from immigrant parents wanting security and success and a buffering for their children in this harsh, racist society. I totally get that. And I can't really blame immigrant parents for that tendency. I can blame racist structures in America, however, definitely, and capitalistic beliefs that we have as well. All those things I am very much willing to blame. And after I failed that class, I was just at a turning point where I was like, I'm done. And I thought, let me just take any class I'm really interested in. Thought about how much I loved English. So I took this class called African Literature, and it was taught by Gugiwa Thiong'o, who is one of the most famous humanities professors at UCI, and for a good reason. And I just fell in love all over again with the English class. But this time I was reading books that were really compelling and not written by white male authors and not centered around white characters. And I loved looking at books that were not from the US. And I actually got to see some Muslim characters in some of the books, which was really exciting to me. My final paper for the course, I wrote it on two books, The Madonna of Excelsior by Zeke Muda and God's Bits of Wood, which is written by Usman Sembene. And I did a comparative paper based on the Christian themes within The Madonna of Excelsior and the Islamic themes in God's Bits of Wood. You know, from that point on, I just was convinced that comparative literature was the thing I wanted to do. I just switched my major right away. I loved reading things from all over the world, and the faculty at UCI, I don't mean for this to sound like an advertisement for UCI, but I mean the faculty there is all pretty international, and I just really felt like there were people who really were connected to the conversations that these books were having in a meaningful way. And one of the most fascinating things for me about comp lit at UCI is at the time, the emphasis on decolonization decolonization, and nearly everything we looked at had to deal with decolonization to some extent. And as a Pakistani American whose ancestors' lives were literally ruined by British colonialism, I was just like, yeah, like, let's freaking talk about this. You're right. Let's talk about this. Let's rip this apart. I finished college, and of course, I didn't know what I was going to turn to in terms of career. But I thought, you know what? I really loved English classes in high school, and I feel like I could be a good English teacher. So before I got married, I got in touch with my old high school English teacher, who was also teaching my brother English at the time. And I was like, yo, is it okay if I sit in on some of your classes? So I sat in on some of his classes some mornings for the first semester of the school before I got married and moved. Eventually, once I ended up in Urbana-Champaign, I went to grad school. When I start grad school, which is a master's in education and teacher licensing program in one, there was a huge emphasis on multicultural texts and teaching texts from diverse authors in the program at U of I. And I started hearing for the first time explicitly that students, young students in high school, should be reading diverse texts from all sorts of backgrounds. And of course, that makes total sense, right? But I mean, here I am in my mid-20s hearing this for the first time. While I was going through the program and seeing some of what the students were reading at my school placements, I was starting to get a feel for what I had lost in my own high school experience. And I really blame the school district I was in, English department at my high school, my teacher of 3 years specifically. I really blame them for failing the students. I really think that they're the ones responsible for such a sad curriculum. That's when the connections were made for me. From what I felt as a high school student, all that frustration about the narrow set of texts that we were exposed to. And then what I experienced as a college student, this whole new world of books that were so diverse and so rich in fascinating ways. This clicked for me when I was in my teaching program doing my master's, and I was just thinking, yeah, wouldn't it be so awesome if the texts that people chose in their high school English classes actually reflected the cultures of the students within the classroom? Wow, what a revelation, you know? Kind of obvious, but I think we're slowly getting there, but honestly, it's going to take more teachers of color to make the changes that we really, really want to see in authentic and meaningful ways. All of these ideas, from my high school experience to what I experienced in college to this new realization I was coming to, all kind of culminated in my student teaching experience. Most of the periods I taught were AP English for juniors, but I did teach this elective course called British Literature, and my cooperating teacher, Ms. Jones, who I really love and learned so much from. She was such a great match for me, and she was the best person I could have prayed to be paired with for my student teaching experience. So basically, she's like, hey, yeah, also British Lit, the curriculum isn't really set, but she had set the course to run through historical periods in British history, but this was all kind of really UK-centered, and it was my worst nightmare to hear this because I hadn't, like, read almost any British literature, you know what I mean? Like, especially not in college. And I was like, oh God, like, this is gonna be a train wreck for me. And so, you know, the more I got to know my students and the more I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and said, I don't know British literature. I don't want to teach British literature. I don't really care about British history. You know, and I don't mean that in a rude way, just like, it's not what I really wanted to spend a lot of my time looking up and researching so that I could teach a class on it. And so I came to my teacher one day and I was like, hey, we're talking about slavery and abolition right now in class, and I just want to just dive off into the empire. What do you think about it? And she was like, totally on board. And she was like, this class is yours. Take it wherever you want. And I was like, freaking legit. I was so excited, but also so terrified. And so the last 2/3 of the semester I taught was just basically the empire unit. And we looked at different places within the British Empire. And of course, I had to teach about India as it was colonized under the British. And so with my class, we watched the movie Lagan. We did a little bit of an analysis of the song in Lagan called Radha Kesina Jale, which means how could this Indian goddess named Radha not be jealous? We talked about the classical dancing in there. I talked about the three major religions in India, Islam, Hinduism, and Sikhism. And I specifically remember these lessons so fondly because at the end of my PowerPoint, I had made a slide with three images of a Hindu, a Muslim, and a Sikh couple on their weddings. These are contemporary images they found online. I challenged the students to identify which couple belonged to which faith. And I mean, I was so frustrated. Like, this one girl, she got all of them right, like, after looking at it for 2 seconds. I was so pissed, but I was like, good for you. You are freaking smart. She wasn't even a senior like most of the other students in the class. So yeah, I taught that about India. And then we discussed issues of decolonization once the empire was dismantled. And we looked at cultural appropriation and different music videos like Hymn for the Weekend by Coldplay and Beyonce, which I love you, Coldplay, but you really had such a problematic music video for that. And really, there was no reason for you to be in India for that music video. I have no idea where the connection came from. But when I look back at the course that I taught British literature, especially at the direction in which I took the class, I felt like I had come full circle. Like, there I was giving high school English students a really meaningful English education that I could stand by, in which they were learning all the skills and everything they needed, but which was also really real and really authentic to me and what I like to read and who I believe I am as a person and what's really important to me. By the way, you can find lesson plans, unit plans, and other educational resources for the Empire and other things I have taught at my website, which is brownteacherreads.com. I hope you are almost as excited as I am about this podcast, Brown Teacher Reads, and stay tuned. This is Mina Malik, a South Asian American high school English teacher, and you've been listening to Brown Teacher Reads.